One of the worst things I imagine that can happen to a person, to any person, is to be deprived of their freedom. And yet, in every corner of the world, large numbers of men and women find themselves incarcerated, justly or unjustly, for varying periods of time, in conditions that range from good to horrific. Whatever their story, whatever their sin, these people are all needy, isolated, and usually desperate. The Church is adamant they all deserve pastoral and spiritual care. Jesuit Father Winston de Souza is one of those special men, a prison chaplain, who responds to that need. He lives and works in Scotland, but popped into Vatican Radio just the other day to say hello and to share with us the difficulties and the rewards of his very particular mission.
I was invited to join prison chaplaincy subsequent to my finishing off as parish priest at a previous parish. And I could say that over the 3 years, it has definitely been one of the high points of my life in Scotland, far better than being in a parish.
Father Winston told us he looks after the local jail in Aberdeen, and he takes care of a special prison at Peterhead for prisoners with sex-related offences. But first of all, he explained, he does not make distinctions between prisoners, not even between those who may be evidently innocent and hardened criminals with no remorse.
I'm not a judge in civil law or in criminal law for that matter. So I'm not in a stage of making a judgment about people. Also, in my encounter with prisoners, I don't ordinarily ask what offence they are in for. I never ever ask them. If they want to speak about it, they're very welcome to speak about it. And I would listen to them. But I don't challenge them about their offence. Primarily because I think prison chaplaincy goes beyond the offence of a prisoner. Prison chaplaincy has got to do with holistic care of the prisoner and not specifically to look after a prisoner's crime or, you know, to kind of help him to get over just that crime. But to give him a sense of what are the possibilities before him when he's out of prison? How can he kind of change himself from within? That, for me, is far more demanding, challenging, and of importance than just merely looking at the person's crime.
Surely, I thought, it's only human to want to discover the crime behind the man. But Father Winston said that's not the way to go. And not only that. If you're sensitive and open, it's often the criminal himself who can teach you something about yourself.
I had a prisoner in Peterhead not very long ago who was in for a crime, a sex-related crime, and he was in for about 5 years, I think. He wasn't a Christian, he wasn't Catholic, he was a Jain. But I did find him to have quite a sense of balance about his crime, and he opened my eyes to something quite different. You know, apparently in Jainism they have this kind of understanding that if you do something evil in this world, you are punished for it in some form. You may not necessarily be punished for it immediately, but in some form you will be punished. And punishment really is a cleansing experience. It's a time to sit down and reflect and think about what you've done and things like that. So although he has denied a lot of what he has done from the point of view of this crime that he was in for, he thinks that he's guilty of several other crimes in the past which he's never ever been convicted for. For example, he said that he was, he's quite an elderly person really, and he was in the war as a pilot. And he says he remembers having killed people who he never ever met, but this was his job, to push buttons on a plane and to drop bombs. And today he feels a sense of remorse for those crimes because he thinks that is far more evil of what he did than what he's potentially in for whatever sentence he completed. So you see, you get these kind of prisoners really who sometimes open your eyes to things that you never ever thought of. And it's quite a formative experience.
Now, a prisoner has a strict routine and a program he has to adhere to. But for the chaplain himself, there are no fixed rules and regulations. He's there to accompany the prisoner, walk with him in this most difficult time of his life.
Yes, I think you've put it quite accurately, if I may say so. Because prisoners are at different levels. You can't have one program, really, as a blanket program for all prisoners.
And of course, the prison chaplain has a different role from the warders, the director, and from everyone else who works in a prison. Father Winston says it's essential right from the beginning to establish oneself on a different plane in order to gain the prisoner's trust.
I joined in February of 2003, and for the first 6 months that I was in prison, nobody would come and speak to me. So I was just to walk around the halls and kind of see them playing table tennis or pool or snooker or whatever else, and, you know, say hello, hi, you know, that kind of thing. And people used to come up to me, look at my badge, I said, and, you know, just walk away. But over a period of time of 6 months, 7 months, then suddenly tides seems to change, you know, and they did come up to me and speak to me. And I asked a few prisoners, you know, why this? And they said, you know, initially when you came, prisoners really don't trust anybody outside themselves. They do not know who you are. They do not know whether you're going to grasp them in front of the governor or anybody else. You may profess to be a Catholic priest, but they still don't trust you. You know, it takes a long while to build trust in a person. But having built that trust, then they can talk to you about anything they want because they know that you will not shock them in front of the governor or in front of any of the other staff, really. My usual uniform to get into prison is a T-shirt and jeans and trainers. And that's how I go in. I'd never wear a collar except if it's something very formal in a prison. Like I've got to meet a governor or there's the inspector of prisons or somebody coming over. And then, you know, as chaplain of the prison, I've got to be on my best behavior and in my uniform. But apart from that, ordinarily when I go to prison every day, it's just T-shirt, jeans and trainers. And prisoners like me that way because, you know, they resent anybody with a uniform. So that's one way in which you can kind of break down, break in really with them. And break down barriers of resistance that go on between, you know. I can sit down with them, have a wee chat with them, share some chewing gum or something like that with them.
So a prison chaplain is in fact someone who can and does wield enormous influence within a very difficult social context. He does this by confronting suffering, human rights challenges, and the mentality of despair. The church, Father Winston says, has much to do.
I would look at it at three levels. At the topmost level, I would say the church needs to engage with the justice system in a country in some shape or form. You need to have people from within the church who can sit at some of these meetings or some of these committees and present a different viewpoint, the holistic viewpoint. So when you're looking at justice, you're not just looking at justice for the victim, but we also need to restore dignity to the prisoner, who often is victimized when they get out of prison by society. And as much as the prisoner feels victimized by society, that cycle of crime is not going to break because the prisoner is going to say, you know, society treats me this way. I'll get back at society and I'll do something. I mean, and then he or she goes in to do another crime and then the cycle keeps going on and on and on. So we do need priests or somebody to give a holistic vision to the justice system. That's one thing. The second level is, I would like to see people from parishes involved in prisons as well. Why? Because several people from parishes have got gifts and talents that often prison chaplains don't have. Listening skills, music skills, a variety of other skills. For example, many of them have got contacts of how to get jobs. Many of them have got some kind of skills of how to kind of brighten up their CVs. And things like that, you know, anything that helps in some shape or form to kind of get a prisoner back into a proper functioning member of society once again helps. So I think parishioners have got a lot to contribute as well. And at a third level, I would also like to see chaplains really involved far more also within the prison management system to be, so to speak, advisors to governors and to deputy governors and people across the board, people that are really involved with the care and activities even of prisoners on an everyday level. Because my experience really has been that many of these managers within the prison service are quite professional at their own little job, but they fail to see the holistic side of things. You know, how can we get this prisoner back into society as a proper functioning member of society? They would look at it really, okay, how could I get him off drugs? But that really does not help because he's when he gets out of prison, he's got a problem with money, he's got a problem with housing, he's got a problem with getting other things from society. So, you know, it's everything is required to kind of make a person feel whole again.
To make a person feel whole again, a person who feels broken inside. That's a big challenge. On the other hand, the idea of a prison chaplain, for me, goes hand in hand with hope. And I'm sure for the broken people inside those grim walls and behind the barred windows, they must be bearers of hope. They're also often sources of food, medicine, literacy. They connect with families and intervene in important bureaucratic matters. But first of all, they share God's love. They're essentially bearers of hope.